Well, good morning, everyone. This is Edrin myself here on the last of these Lent podcasts. I want to give a big thank you to everybody who's been involved so far, and particularly to Tom for making it happen. We come today to what is sometimes described in the Christian calendar as Low Saturday, the day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And it's a day when we think about the burial of Jesus. And that's an event in the life of Jesus that is often ignored. We want to get from the cross to the resurrection. We forget that for 40 hours, Jesus' body was in the tomb waiting for resurrection. And yet the Bible makes it quite clear that this was an important event. So in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul talks about the foundations of our faith, what he's received and what he's passed on, he says this: Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, and then he rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And the early apostles remembered that in their creed. Speak of Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He died and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. And as we read it in just a moment, Edrie will read the passage in John's Gospel, chapter 19. As we read in a moment, we need to realize that this event, which is recorded in all four Gospels, is quite unusual, because the normal way of dealing with the body of a criminal was to throw it into the common pit. And that's what should have happened to Jesus. And yet along comes Joseph of Arimathea, who's a secret believer, and Nicodemus, whose faith has now grown to fruition. And they ask for the body not to be put in the pit, but to be put in a private tomb. And that request is an unusual request. It's a remarkable request. What's even more remarkable is that permission is given. And it helps us to understand that prophecy that we thought of last Sunday in Isaiah, when Isaiah says 700 years before, he'll die with wicked people, with criminals, but he'll be buried with the rich. The rabbis puzzled over that. How on earth can that be? And yet here it is. And what it shows us is that even at this moment, God is completely in control in his life, in his death, in his burial, and of course in his resurrection. God is in control. So Edrie's going to read to us now from John chapter 19.
Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
I've always loved history, and every month I have a magazine called History Today. There's a common feature in each of the editions of that magazine in which they take a famous painting from history and they just comment on the painting and an impact it's made. This month in April, the painting was by Hans Holbein, a painting from 1521 with the title The Body of the Dead Christ in the Tomb. And it's a shocking painting. It's not really historical. Jesus isn't so much in a tomb, he's more like in a coffin with the side taken away so you can see into it. He's not wrapped in cloths, he's simply in a loincloth. But that's not what shocked people. What shocked people is that Jesus looks so completely dead. His body is emaciated, it's battered, it's grotesque. You can see putrefaction at work. His face has a green tinge about it. His eyes are glassy and open. His mouth is slightly open. As people looked at that painting, they were shocked. We know he died. We know he was dead, but was he so dead? Whatever Holbein's trying to say in the painting, I think we need to listen to, because the Word of God confirms this. When Jesus died, he truly died, and he truly was taken by men, and he was placed in a tomb. Not only did he experience death, he experienced the grave. And that's important for us for three reasons, three words to remember when we think about the burial of Jesus. The first word is the word humiliation. Humiliation. He went into the grave itself. When Paul talks about what Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, did, he speaks of him humbling himself. He was God. He became man. As a man, he was a servant. As a servant, he was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And it's almost as if what we're saying is that it goes even slightly beyond that, because being a dead body, he is laid in a tomb. He's put in a grave. There are a few things more humiliating than burial. I know that we have all sorts of ways of smartening it up, and we have elaborate rituals and elaborate coffins and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, a dead body is a dead body. I've stood at hundreds of grave sites when the undertaker has looked across at me and asked me to give him a nod when they're ready to just lower the body into the ground. At that moment, the body is helpless. It's in the hands of others. And for 40 hours, Jesus is in the grave. His spirit is with his Father, but his body is lying in the grave. Notice the words that they use here in this passage. They took him. They wrapped him. They laid him in the tomb. This was the extent he was willing to go to humble himself, to save us. Second word is the word identification. He identifies completely with us in every aspect of our lives. In birth, he experienced human birth. He was circumcised on the eighth day. As a child, he experienced human childhood and human growth. I'm sure if you'd looked at the knees of Jesus, there would have been scars where he'd fallen over as a little boy and skinned his knees. He was baptized, even though he was sinless, to identify with us. He identified with us in his death, and he even identified with us in his burial. One day, unless Christ returns, we will be buried, or we'll be cremated, or our earthly remains will be laid to rest. And that's frightening, because there's nothing so unnatural as death. It was never part of God's original creation. The ripping apart of the body and the soul is a terrible thing. But Jesus has been there, and Jesus knows, and Jesus understands. He has identified with us in every possible way. But then thirdly, of course, as we come to this low Saturday and we look to tomorrow, Easter Sunday, there's that word anticipation. That word anticipation. In normal circumstances, the body would have been thrown in a pit, and there'd have been no way to distinguish it from any other body. In God's plan and God's provision to prove that his Son had been truly killed and then truly raised from the dead, he arranged for him to be put in a place that was recognizable, where the women could go, where people could know that he was risen. That he's placed in a tomb where there's a triple lock, there's a stone, there's a seal, there are soldiers. If he rises, it's going to be clear. It's going to be recognizable. So much so that in chapter 20, when John and Peter run to the tomb and John goes in and he sees the linen there, he knows that Jesus is risen, and he believes. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus our Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus our Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He went into the grave, he rose. We may go into the grave, but we will rise also. We're poised, aren't we, between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. As we close, let me read some words to you. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Pilate is struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit burdened. But can you see? It's only Friday. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The soldiers nail our Saviour's hands to the cross. They nail his feet to the cross. Then they raise him up next to criminals. The world is winning. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. The Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields up his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan is just laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. And Sunday is coming. Eddie's going to lead us now in prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for submitting yourself willingly to all that agony and dying for us. We love you, Lord, and we eagerly await your resurrection morning. Help those who are seeking to find you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening. And today, and particularly tomorrow, let's keep looking to Jesus. Amen.